As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code parenting for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code parenting at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline, the place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm your host, Erin Royer. Before we get into the questions this week, I want to make a really quick announcement, and that is if you send us an email and you don't hear back relatively quickly, like within 24 hours, especially if you're a member, please check your junk or spam folders because the emails are coming from a business or because I'm a small business, not a big reputable one, or I don't know, for whatever reason, they use, however they filter emails, emails from Your Village seem to frequently go into people's spam or junk folders. So if you're a member who sends a message through the Ask Erin form or just sends an email or a question through the chat box on the site or by any other means and you don't see a response within 24 hours, please, please check those folders. I often get people emailing me back again thinking I'm not responding and I always feel so bad because I've answered and they just haven't seen it yet. Because myself and my assistant Amy are really pretty good about staying on top of the emails and getting back to people, usually actually within hours, like within a couple hours. But we definitely try to give some type of response within 24 hours, even if I'm really busy. She'll usually respond and just say, "We got your email, Erin's busy." She'll get back to you because I really like to get back to people as soon as possible so they know that I've received their information. That's really important to me to have really good customer service with that. We have been known to let them fall through. That has happened before also. So also please write us back and be like, "I emailed you. I haven't heard from you." But check your spam folders. So that's my public service announcement for this week. If you're sending an email question as a non-member to the podcast at yourvillageonline.com, that can take Amy several days to reply to those and get them on the schedule to let you know where you are on the schedule. But for member questions especially and inquiries, we try to get back to you within a couple hours. So I just wanted to get that information out there. So today, I'm actually just covering one question because it has a lot more detail than most of the questions, and this is about the oh-so-common issue of bedtime struggles, and middle of the night, both, actually. So Erin wrote in, and she asked, she said, "My son is almost 4. He has struggled with sleep basically since he was born. Currently, we start our bedtime routine around 7 o'clock. He's in bed by 7:30. We have sleep rules about staying in bed and being quiet, but he never follows them, and it takes him at least 30 minutes, often more, to finally fall asleep. During those 30-plus minutes, he gets up repeatedly, asks to go to the potty, for water, etc. We have a gate in front of his door to keep him contained, and when he gets up, I silently walk him back to bed and tuck him in. But he often gets up immediately after I close the door. If he asks for something, like a ball or toy, and I don't bring it to him, he has a meltdown and cries for many minutes. Normally, to get him to stop getting up, I have to break my silence and say, 'Mommy's not coming back.' And then he most often will stay in bed. If not, my husband will take over, and he usually stops after a few minutes. On top of that, he wakes up every night, sometimes twice, to use the potty, and we start the routine again. After the potty, if I don't rock him, he will cry. If I do rock him and put him to bed, he gets back up at least 2 to 3 more times over the next 10 minutes, and I have to re-tuck him in. Often, I end up getting frustrated because it's the middle of the night and I'm exhausted. Finally, he's an early waker. He's up by 6 a.m. most days, sometimes earlier. He comes to my room and I ask him to go back to bed or play quietly until I get up and shower, which is usually about 6:15. He's a very active boy and mostly well-behaved, but he does show signs of tiredness towards the end of the day. He hasn't had a nap in at least 4 to 5 months, and when I suggest rest time during the day, he resists. I'm concerned with a few things. First, his trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. Second, that he isn't getting enough sleep. And third, that I'm not using proper tactics to get him to stay in bed and avoid the crying overnight. Please help, Erin." And so Erin is a member, so I emailed her back and I asked a few more clarifying questions along with some suggestions to get her started. So Erin mentioned that her son has always struggled with sleep, and I wanted to know more about this because it helps me understand the bigger picture. If a child used to fall asleep easily on their own or had a period of time where they were falling asleep easier on their own, but then stopped for some reason, now teething, an illness, or a developmental spurt can often be the cause that gets parents into some bad habits, and then they may not get back on track. But if the child's never been able to fall asleep on their own, it just helps me understand more so that I can give better feedback. So I asked Erin to clarify this and give me some more information. So I asked her if she could tell me more about this, the history, what she did to try to work on it when he was younger. What were his sleep associations in the past? Was it rocking, feeding him to sleep with a breast or a bottle, in his room, white noise, back rubs? What was it? So whatever she thought he was using to rely on to relax him enough to fall asleep. And then I asked her what she thought they are now. Then I wanted to share with her the expectations for sleep at age 4. So at age 4, a child should be sleeping 11 to 12 hours in any 24-hour period. So Erin's son is clearly falling short of that because he's falling asleep around 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So that's 10 hours of sleep. And then there's also the middle of the night wake up. So he's falling pretty short of that. Now, it's not uncommon for kids to drop their naps by 4. But then I would expect to see him sleeping from 7:30 to 6:30 at minimum without any middle of the night wake ups. With those, I would expect him to be sleeping longer. So then I asked her for more about the middle of the night potty trips. When he wakes up to go potty, does he really need to go, or is this just a ploy to be able to get attention? Is he an underwear overnight or a pull-up or a diaper of some sort? Does he get through the night dry? And I ask all this because he's on the younger side for this, but it's not out of the realm of a normal range. So it gives me some more insight as to what might be going on in the middle of the night. So I gave her some feedback just to start out, given the information that I already had. I let her know it's okay for him to take 30 minutes to fall asleep. Now, this is a little bit on the longer side, but not out of the range of normal. Most kids will take 15 to 20 minutes to fall asleep on a good day. It's fine so long as he's staying in his room and learning to put himself to sleep. The problem comes up when he's constantly getting up and engaging in attention-seeking behavior because it prolongs him from staying in his room to relax long enough in order to get sleepy and fall asleep. So it sounds like he really should be ready to fall asleep at that point since he's not getting anywhere close to 11 to 12 hours. Now, when a child gets out of bed consistently at bedtimes, they're getting some sort of payoff for it. It's usually in the form of attention. Sometimes it'll be whatever they're asking for, an added snack, watching TV, something like that, if the parent's giving in to that, another book. So anything that rewards the behavior is just going to perpetuate it. Otherwise, the child will stop doing it. If there's no payoff, the child will stop. So even if it's a power struggle that gets mom or dad to lose their cool, that's a payoff. They get the upper hand and some control in the situation. So if you're having a bedtime struggle like this one, you'll want to ask yourself, how or what kind of payoff is my child getting? You may think, I'm getting angry and I'm losing my cool. I thought that would be enough to make them want to stay in bed. But no, that's a payoff. Negative attention is often better than no attention. Again, especially if they get mom or dad to lose their cool. That's a lot of power. So that's a dynamic you definitely want to shift. You must be the bedtime ninja. Nothing ruffling your feathers, or at least not having it show on the outside. Now, I think this might be hardest in households with a parent who is lower in persistence and a child who is high in persistence. Now, this comes from the temperament class. It's one of the traits of temperament. So if you want to know more about how to work with kids that are high in persistence, or you want to see where you fall on the temperament spectrum in any of the 9 traits or all of the 9 traits, as opposed to where your children are falling, so you can understand those differences, that's a great class. And that's in the health and development section on the website at yourvillageonline.com. Now, luckily for me, I'm very high in persistence, and it's pretty darn hard to outlast or outstubborn me. I consider it one of my better traits, especially when it comes to parenting. So my mantra in my head at bedtimes was always, you will not outlast me. I never said it out loud. It was in my head. I was resolute. I was quiet, deliberate, with full intention of outlasting this toddler through a bedtime struggle. I would walk the offending toddler back to bed, and all I would say is, it's bedtime. You need to stay in your room. So then I gave Erin some additional tips, and this was before I got any information back from her. So in the email, I gave her some other information.
This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken-down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has 4 levels: low, medium, high, and sleep, and 4 different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's G-E-T-P-U-R-O-A-I-R.com. PuroAir.com. PuroAir is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's GetPuroAir.com.
On setting some additional boundaries around bedtime. So one was have a talk ahead of time about bedtime is bedtime. Once I tuck you in, I will not get you anything else. No balls, no toys, no water, no back rub. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means it's bedtime and you need to learn to stay in your room and fall asleep on your own. Number two, you want to have your toddler make a last potty trip before tuck in. If he needs one after that, he's on his own, meaning he can be responsible for getting there, going, getting his bottoms back on, bottoms meaning underwear and any bottoms he's wearing for pajamas, and back into bed. This way it's not a ploy for attention. You spell this out ahead of time. If he sits in his room and yells he has to go, it's a call for attention. Trying to see which plea for help will get the attention and quote unquote win. So if you set the precedent that he's welcome to get up and go on his own and no need for you to respond, you can just ignore it. Then number three, when he does get up, not talking about potty training, outside of that, if he gets up and asks for something, you want to walk him back and ignore him. It's fine if he gets out of bed, but not if he leaves this room. Is he okay with the door closed? This is a question I asked Aaron. Could that be an issue? Now, four-year-olds are prone to nighttime fears, so that's why I asked her. If he does have any kind of nighttime fears or those are starting to come on, because that's not uncommon at this age, it's okay to leave the door open. I know it feels like it's just an extra invitation to come out of the room, but if he gets used to falling asleep, he understands the boundaries, it also may make him feel safer or more comfortable falling asleep with the door open. But if he's fine with the door closed, that's fine too. If he leaves his room, you want to keep putting him back, not looking at him, not saying a word outside of one sentence, if you want to say anything at all. It is a struggle, but without any payoff or attention to it, it should go away quickly. You see a really significant improvement after 3 to 5 nights and almost non-existent within a week or two. You can also tag team. You do one, your husband does one. You do one, your husband does one. This is in the case of Aaron in a two-parent household. This makes it less stressful. It cuts the labor in half and it's two against one. Number four, if he has a meltdown, let it go. It's a call for attention again. Once he learns it won't get the desired result, no reaction is much more powerful than a negative one. This will stop quickly. Again, if there's no payoff, they'll stop doing it. If there are things going on during the day where he needs more attention, then you can work on that. So it alleviates the need for the attention at bedtime. But it's not uncommon for kids to get plenty of attention during the day and still seek it out at bedtime. So they just want to get that upper hand. They're just looking to see how far they can push it. So you will know if you're giving enough attention to your child already during the day, and this is just a ploy to try to get an upper hand at bedtime. You want to keep in mind that changing the way you handle these types of situations, whether it's bedtimes or other situations of discipline, it can increase the behavior at first. And I talk about this in the Intro to Discipline class, why that is and how that works. The kids are thinking, darn, this used to work to get me what I wanted. What's going on? So I'm going to try harder because I think they just didn't hear me. I got to try to pull out all the stops here. It can get worse before it gets better. It's very short-lived. It's a day or two. It's what we call the extinction burst. So you can look at the class on Intro to Discipline to learn more about that if you're curious what it's about, why it works that way, and how to outlast that. I make that a thing of the past. And it's also just a really good class in general because it covers rewards for attention-seeking behavior and what happens with that. Okay, so then Erin gave more details based on the questions that I asked her. So she said, in the middle of the night, now when he wakes up, he definitely pees a lot. He probably could hold it till the morning, but it's around 2:30 to 3 that he normally wakes. He is in underwear overnight. Thanks to you, he's fully potty trained on the big potty and has been for a few months, but he hasn't worn a diaper overnight in at least 6 months. So I just want to say, now this is amazing, and I would say it's thanks to Erin and being patient in following the steps in the potty training process and tuning into her son's readiness. So this is a really nice job on that and amazing. He's already overnight potty trained. And then Erin gave some more details. She said, part of the issue is that when he has a meltdown, he screams bloody murder. Like you can hear him outside at our neighbors. My husband gets embarrassed by that, so he doesn't like to let him have the meltdown and he'll end up going in to try to calm him down. He can Also, start to hyperventilate when he has meltdowns, like breathless crying, and then has a really hard time settling himself. When he starts to cry, he always says, "Mommy, help me stop crying." What I used to do when he was little was 3 steps, deep breaths, hug, then silly face. So now, anytime he starts to cry, he wants me to do that, which breaks my silence mantra. I read another book called Healthy Sleep, Happy Babies, or something like that, and it mentioned putting sleep rules on the wall, then rewarding if they follow with candy or something in the morning, and consequences if they don't, like taking away a special toy for the day. We've been doing that for a couple weeks, and he just doesn't seem to care if things get taken away. I don't think the closed door is an issue. He's never been scared or anything at night. I'll be honest and say that I sometimes lose my temper after trying to keep cool, so I'm not consistent with my behavior. And based on your class and what I've read, that's probably a big part of it. I guess I wonder if the way I'm doing it, basically the mantra method, is most effective. I took part of the class online and was considering the other two methods, potentially the check-in method. He seems to do well with other things when I set timers, like playing outside and having to come in or playing in the tubby. So should I change my approach? Thanks for all you do, Erin. So then I gave Erin some more steps to follow to fix her bedtime and nighttime struggles. I let her know that for right now, she really needs to focus on the bedtimes and getting those to a place where he can get to sleep on his own. When you have a nighttime struggle, unless it's an infant, if you've had these ongoing habits for a while, it's easier to focus on bedtime first. Because the sleep pressure is stronger at bedtime, you want to work on getting that in place. The middle, and then they get used to those boundaries, so it makes the middle of the night, once you're ready to fix that and make that work differently, a lot easier. So I suggested to Erin that she really works on the bedtime first. And I said she has a couple of options. She can continue with the mantra method, and this means being very resolute in the boundaries. No giving in because he's melting down and the neighbors can hear. That she and her husband would have to be okay with that. Now, of course, also totally committed and focused on staying calm. Now, what helps with that is reminding yourself that this is a short-term thing. It's going to last 3 to 5 nights, and then it's going to be a lot better. And in most cases, you'll see that it's a lot better after 3 nights. I just had a mom a couple of weeks ago who sent me an email saying her son was 4.5 and they had waited so long to try to fix this, and they got it greatly reduced after 3 nights. She was amazed and wished she had done it earlier. So just know that 3 nights, you will see a huge improvement in most cases. I say 3 to 5 because with some kids, it may take a little bit longer. Her other option is going to the check-in method, which sounds like it may work for her. She would put him to bed and say, "If you stay in bed, I'll come check on you in 5 minutes. If you go this route, I would have a conference ahead of time about how it's really important that he works on falling asleep on his own in his own room, and that you are going to try something new and you need his help with it, that you and his dad will be tucking him in and he needs to stay in bed. And then when he does, you'll come in and check on him, rub his back or whatever. Basically, check on him, stay a short while, and then leave. That you will continue to check on him every few minutes, but he must stay in bed quietly. If he can't, then you'll have to go back to him being in his room alone until he falls asleep. Now, if you think 5 minutes is too long and maybe too long for him to wait, it could tempt him too much to call out, you could start with 3 minutes. The other thing is that you have to be ready for, though, is what happens if he gets up to come get you? Are you going to be able to walk him back to his bed and then not do the check-in for another 5 minutes? Is that going to turn into like a little struggle there between him getting up before the check-in happens? And that's where that can get a little bit muddy for some parents, is then they're like, "Oh crap, now we just broke it. Now I have to follow through and not go in and check on him, but then he's going to keep getting him up. Then you're back to the mantra method." So you have to try to figure out if that's going to work for you and if you're going to be able to stick with that boundary. When it comes to Erin's son, his body clock for going to the bathroom is pretty rhythmic, which is nice. And when it comes to the morning, he's actually waking up to go right at that morning time, so that makes sense. And he's not sleepy enough to fall back to sleep. Now, once the nighttime routine gets better and he can put himself to sleep, he'll very likely get better at this in the middle of the night and the early mornings if he's still tired. It's a skill that he still needs to learn. He's struggling with that one. I also think once he has the skill of falling asleep on his own, he will do so much more easily. He'll start stretching out his sleep or falling back to sleep more easily and will get more hours of sleep overall. As far as the book, I said I don't recommend following the advice. I'm really not a fan of the reward type systems, and the research supports how ineffective they are, especially for long-term change. They sometimes work in the short term for things like taking medicine a child really needs to take to get better or something like that. Then some reward systems can be put in place if they won't take their medicine, and that's something that has to be done, right? You can't not take your medicine in most cases. But in other cases, especially for long-term changes in behavior, it really does more harm than good. And actually, I go into that also in the Intro to Discipline class about rewards and punishments and why they're so ineffective for the long-term. Also, the overnight is too long for the reward or consequence to really stick. So that's another problem with that. Even if that did work, it's too long, especially for a four-year-old. And also, the reward for sleep or consequence for not sleeping doesn't really match the behavior. You know, candy for falling asleep or a consequence for not falling asleep. I'm not sure what would even work trying to match a consequence for that. You can't force someone to fall asleep. They really have to try to figure it out on their own. And it's really about a skill, right? Learning to relax the body and fall asleep on their own. So it's a skill they have to learn. Or some kids have to learn. A lot of kids will get it naturally. Some kids will not. That was my oldest. He had to learn. My other two, it came naturally to them. Also with rewards, it builds external motivation. This means the rewards have to get bigger and bigger to have an impact. That is, if they work at all. And in this case, because it's so long from bedtime to morning, I can see why it was ineffective, even in the short term. So this question and answer, it's gone a lot longer than they usually do. So we're just going to stop with that one question this week. Also, luckily, I haven't had any additional parenting challenges this week. And I'm still working on the education issue that we've been having. We did go on a tour of the new school. I can't remember what I shared about that, but it's set up really differently than a traditional public school, including their ability to work within their current level in each area of instruction, which is really great news for my fifth grader. He's really ready to move ahead in math, has been for a long time, as well as social studies, but his writing is still very much at a fifth grade level, so he needs to stay in fifth grade for that to get that a little bit stronger. They have project-based learning. They have elective 2 days a week, including Spanish, yoga, and there's a couple others. I don't remember what they were. So as we were touring, my oldest son's face was very stoic, and he didn't have any questions to ask. So I was thinking, oh, he's not going to want to move here. He is not enjoying this at all. Whereas my youngest son was asking all kinds of questions. So when we got done with the tour, I asked them if they liked anything better than their current school or what they thought of it. And my oldest son said, everything. And I asked him, can you give me some specifics on that? And he said, it just feels freer, which was really interesting that he picked that up. I thought that was a great description. They do give a lot of respect and responsibility to the students for their own learning, to leverage their strengths, including interpersonal skills and creativity. Unfortunately, most of the grades are full right now, so they're trying to figure out how they can add another classroom or make room for my three kids, particularly the third graders. They do a shadow program where the kids can shadow another learner for the day. They call the kids learners and they call the teachers facilitators. So they're all going to do that one day next week. We have that set up. So we'll see what happens from here. And I look forward to sharing more of my thoughts on this whole process of actually doing this research and investigating other options for my kids and then how things are going for all three of them as we get down this path a little further. Now, whatever they decide, and of course, if one or more decides to move and they have room for them, so that will be more telling about what part of this journey I have to share and how it's going. But this is a really exciting time for us. So to check out any of the 50 plus classes, including toddler sleep, infant sleep, temperament, potty training, or to become a member and have access to me to get your own parenting questions answered right away, you can go to yourvillageonline.com. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.